much life change and so many people stepping into new things and being freed from things in their past. It's just, it's awesome. We talk about relational health, emotional health, spiritual health. We dig into making you a healthy person, right? So that you can thrive, all right? So I would encourage you to sign up for that. You'll hear more about that as we keep trucking in here through September. But hey, good morning. Who's ready to learn? All right. I got some excited people. All right. Excited to learn something. We're finishing up this series called You Asked For It. And I took the themes and kind of the ideas and things that you submitted to us as a church and said, here's kind of a more of a 30,000 foot view of what I think can help everybody. Because we can go really into the details, into the weeds of some very personal stuff. That's more why we have small groups. That's why we have counseling, so that if you've got issues like that, you have a smaller group of people around you. Here at New Hope, we say when life goes sideways, you don't need a sermon, you need a someone, right? And so that's our encouragement to you. If you don't have those someones, we'll help you find some someones here at New Hope so you can go into some of those really, you know, personal issues that you want help with to dig into that. So I took it at more of a 30,000-foot view and giving us some tools on how to thrive in situations and circumstances in a world, whether it's your personal world or it's like the world we live in, and figuring out how do we really operate as Christians? How can we operate and thrive, okay? So we're talking about a Babylon-like culture, and this is where we're at. We're in the book of Daniel. So if you have your Bibles, you can join me back in the book of Daniel again in the Old Testament. We're going to be digging more into Daniel chapter 2. I'll be reading it up here, but I always encourage you, read it in your Bibles, right, as we go through this. Let me set it up for those of you who haven't been a part of the conversation of what's going on. Daniel was abducted from Jerusalem, God's city, and the whole nation of Jerusalem and the Israelites were taken into captivity under Babylon with King Nebuchadnezzar, who was a godless king in a culture that didn't really have anything to do with the living God, the God of Jacob, the God of that they worship. And so now they're living in a different land. Daniel and three of his buddies were wise, they were good-looking, they were handsome, they were smart, they were part of royalty in Jerusalem, and now they're being brought up under the king Nebuchadnezzar's household to be one of his wise men to help him rule the nation, all right? And so we talked about how bad was Babylon. Babylon was really what? It was bad. It was a bad place to be. How bad was Nebuchadnezzar? Well, we're going to learn today even more how bad Nebuchadnezzar was because he ruled with absolute authority. He considered himself a lowercase g god, what he said went, right? And so there's this whole culture that was driven by fear and control from top to bottom in Babylon. And then you had Daniel's dilemma, right? So Daniel's dilemma was that he was taken from his homeland. They changed his name from Daniel to Belteshazzar, which literally it means, what was his name? I forget the guy's name. It's one of the lowercase g gods that were worshipped, prince. It was basically Satan's prince. So you move from a nation where you're all about God, and now they change your name to something that's like the worst name ever. He was most likely castrated. Woohoo! Talk about fun, right? Because any young, handsome young man that came up into the king's court, like he wanted to be sure there was no threat with his harem, all right? So he would make sure there was no lineage for that man. So all sorts of bad things happen here to Daniel, right? And we're going to see a situation today, how bad it really got. And we're not doing the whole like Sunday school story, Daniel, okay? This isn't like the flannel graph. Anybody grew up with the flannel graph? Right? All right, Sunday school, we got some, okay. We sing How Great They Are, and you're like, I'm back in church. You know, like back in the day, like I grew up in the church, all those old hymns, man, they do. They bring back kind of nostalgia, but also it's cool to worship. So we're digging into the real life here of Daniel and as we talk about this. Now, I've asked you guys a few things, but we'll get there in a second. We are talking about how Daniel thrived in that circumstance. We talk about hope, humility, and wisdom are the three things that Daniel had that helped him thrive in an incredibly difficult situation. And we're learning, as Christians today, how can we live with these three characteristics in our life so that we can thrive, no matter what comes at us, no matter the circumstance. I've talked about hope just a little bit. I didn't do a full sermon on hope. I just said, here's a two-minute sermon on hope. As Christians, we don't live with conditional hope. Conditional hope is based on a hope of something that you hope will happen, and your hope only comes when it happens, or you lose your hope when it doesn't happen, right? That's conditional hope. I pray I win the lottery. I don't win the lottery. My hope has gone out of the lottery. That's conditional. We have unconditional hope because our hope is in the return of Jesus Christ. Our hope is in salvation. Our hope is in the foundation of who God is and all his character. So our hope is not shaken with circumstances that come around us. That's what Daniel had. He already had habits in place before the difficult situation showed up to prove where his hope was. He pre-decided some things, right? And so when you have hope in the living God, you pre-decide things because you already know where your hope is. Everybody with me on that? So he lived with hope. We need to learn how to do that. Humility was last Sunday. I got a lot of comments from last Sunday's message. And so if you missed last Sunday, I think this one, I feel like God has assigned me to write the book on this one, on pride and humility. So pray for me, because I think that is going to come out of me over the next year or year and a half, okay? Because that is one of the things that will always hinder every relationship in your entire life. If you walk with pride, you've now created a barrier between you and God. God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. There's always an opposition if you live a prideful life. In relationship with other people, we learned a pretty powerful statement. We'll look at it in a second. When it comes to living in humility, all right? Today, we're talking about wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. Wisdom. All right, that's what we're learning about, all right? So humility last week, that's conditional, unconditional hope. Just talk about that. To earn opportunities of influence, you have to act in humility in relationship. This is our main point last Sunday. True influence is earned, not demanded. Right? We talked about Nebuchadnezzar demanded influence with the people around him using fear. Nebuchadnezzar was not a humble guy. He was proud. He was very proud of what he could do, and he ruled with fear, so everybody would do whatever he said because they were afraid of getting their head cut off or get thrown in prison, whatever it might be. So he ruled in such a way that maybe changed their actions, but his way would never, ever change a heart. That's pride never changes hearts. It may control people's actions, but you will never actually earn influence in that relationship with that person. They will always just do it out of fear. And that's not a healthy relationship. True influence is earned. It's earned in humility. It's earned in love. It's earned in serving others, just like Christ served us even to the point of death. We learned that last week, what Christ did for us in absolute humility. This one is key. If you don't get this one right, the one I'm talking about today, wisdom, will not be right either, okay? Your hope has to be in the right place. You got to start living in humility, and then you can start walking with wisdom, okay? Wisdom. And I've asked everybody to read 1st and 2nd Peter through this time. Who in here, by show of hands, has been doing that? Who's been doing the reading plans? All right. No, higher, higher, higher. Get it up there, higher. All right. We're going to start a sticker chart on the back wall, okay? Just like Sunday school. Let's go, you know? So we can say, who read their Bible, right? Like, but here's the thing, adults, we need that. We give it to our kids for accountability, but honestly, like, I say I want people to raise their hands as positive peer pressure to those of you in the church, because we know that when you read God's word, that's where wisdom comes from. That's where humility grows. That's the foundation of all this, experiencing God's love and forgiveness and then getting into his word. And we'll talk more about that today. But 1st and 2nd Peter, has it been good for you guys? Has it been connecting with what we've been talking about? There's so much good stuff in 1st and 2nd Peter. It's very practical and deep, okay? So I would encourage you this week, I know we're finishing the sermons, but continue to read 1st and 2nd Peter. If he's like, I already read it all, so you know it all? No, right? Like, so read it, repeat it, right? Read it, repeat it, and let the Holy Spirit continue to work in that, okay? It's only taken me like 20 years to learn stuff, you know? It takes time when we read the scriptures to change us, okay? And so today, wisdom. Everybody say it with me again. Wisdom. All right, we're learning about wisdom. We know that in Daniel chapter 1, we see that Daniel and his buddies were given something from God. It says, to these four young men, God gave. So who is the giver? God. God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. So right at the very beginning, we have an important answer to a question. Where does wisdom come from? God. That's the whole story in Daniel. All the wisdom he experiences comes from God. And it's interesting because in this passage, we know what the curriculum of the day was, right? The curriculum for Babylon and the leaders as they were growing was the occult and astrology. So God gave them knowledge and understanding of things that were actually opposite of godly living. But God wanted them to understand it, actually to the point where they were smarter than, 10 times smarter than the rest of the people who studied it. That's how much God wanted them to understand. You know that you can grow in knowledge and understanding of things that go against Christ and not live into it, but God can use it to help you with somebody who might be going against Christ. That's what God was preparing Daniel and his buddies for. God is the giver of all wisdom. He wants to give us wisdom. We're going to see how this plays out now in Daniel chapter 2, all right? The story continues. Because in Daniel chapter 2, we see the king ruling and living like he does. We see these four guys, Daniel and his three buddies, and now they're raised up and they're underneath the king. Last week we learned about humility. They ask, can we not eat all the king's food? Can we just eat like vegetables and drink water? And we saw his humility in that response, and he was honored in it. And now they're better looking than the other guys because they're eating healthy, and they're allowed to do that. So they're earning influence because of humility in a relationship. We get into the scene now. Nebuchadnezzar is now tormented with a dream. He got a dream in the middle of the night that wrecked him so much so he couldn't stop obsessing. What in the world was this dream about? I don't understand. Have you ever had a dream like that where it just kind of wrecked you? Like, I've had that sometimes, like very few times. But with Nebuchadnezzar, this was a dream actually God put into Nebuchadnezzar's mind. And we're not going to go deep into the dream. We're going to look now at the character of Daniel in the midst of the circumstance. Because Nebuchadnezzar was so messed up by this dream, he called all of his wise men to him. He called all the astrologers, and he called all the people who studied occult and the magicians, and he brought them all in because he wanted answers about what the heck this dream was. And he said to his wise men, he says, now you guys, you have to tell me what the dream was and then interpret it. What in the world does this dream mean? Now, could you imagine being put in that circumstance? Like the king saying, now you tell me what my dream was. And they're all sitting there going, what did you eat last night? You know what? I don't know. Like what TV show did you watch? How were they supposed to tell him what his dream was? And though, so they feel like, what are we going to do here? Cause they couldn't tell the king, well, you dreamed about this and this was this and this is what it means. Like they said, just give us time. Give us time so we can figure this thing out. And he's like, I don't know about that. And so the king got more and more angry, realizing his wise men couldn't be wise enough to give him the answer to solve whatever this dream was and tell him what this dream was about and what happened. And so he became extremely angry to the point where he said, all of you are useless. You're not giving me any wisdom. And this is the biggest thing I've ever experienced in my life. Y'all need to be done. So I don't know if you ever saw a TV show in the past where it'd be, you're fired, right? You know that? That wasn't the situation. It was, you're dead. The king said, I'm going to kill all y'all and all your families. Y'all are going to be dead because you're useless to me. So that's what the king did. He sent out his killers to go to all the wise men's homes to kill them all because none of them were useful to him any longer because they weren't helping him with this thing that absolutely tormented him. Now, who is in this group of wise men? Daniel and his buddies. And they're not a part of the conversation yet. All of a sudden, the killer shows up to their door. I don't know. What would you do if the killer showed up to your door, right? It's like, knock, knock. Hey, I'm sorry I'm here. The king sent me. Can you all go in the middle of the living room for me real quick? I'm supposed to kill you. All right. So, like, what would you do? I would like say, just a minute, I have to go to the bathroom real quick, you know, like, and I like go around the back and lock the door and I'm out the window, you know, I'm gone, I'm out of there, right? So like, I don't, what is going on? Like, this is nuts, because they weren't even a part of it. They're like, what is going on? And he says, explain to me what's going on. And he says, this is what happened, the kings, and they can't interpret the dream. And he's like, can you give us some time? Don't kill us today, like, give us some time. And he's pleading with this assassin, basically, go back to the king, just say, just give us a day. And we pick up this story in verse 17 of Daniel chapter 2 because Daniel wanted to do the right thing. And he knew that this was a much bigger circumstance than he knew how to deal with when an assassin knocks on your door. So let's jump into Daniel 2, starting in verse 17. So then Daniel returned to his house and explained this matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So imagine as he's sharing with them, hey guys, by the way, there's a hit on our heads, like we're supposed to be killed. No big deal, you know, let's just talk about it, you know. So he urged them to plead for mercy from who? From the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. See, Daniel knew who was in charge, right? Because Daniel already pre-decided some things in his life. He already predecided where his hope was. It wasn't in Nebuchadnezzar, because he knew Nebuchadnezzar. How can you hope in a king that kills at random when he's angry? You can't put your hope in that circumstance. So that's not where his hope was, when his God. Where was his habits? Three times a day, we know, Daniel went up to his room and he prayed. He already had decided where his hope was, where he was seeking in humility. He knew who was in charge of who was in charge. It's God. God is always in charge of who's in charge. Daniel knew it. He said, guys, we're not going to get out of this unless we plead with our Heavenly Father to show us mercy. We're not praying that he would make the king show us mercy, because the king isn't the one who's ultimately in charge of whether I live or die. You are God. And so I'm bringing this to you. Talk about a difficult situation. Verse 19, during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven. Wouldn't you? If you woke up, it's like, oh, thank you, God. You know, like mercy has been given to us. And he said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. Again, Daniel knew where it came from. He knew it wasn't going to be his own wisdom to figure this thing out. Wisdom and power comes from God, and he made that proclamation in this circumstance. Verse 21, he's still praising. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. Again, he's repeating it. I know who's in charge of who is in charge. I know where the source of wisdom and all wisdom comes from. It is from God himself. Verse 22, he reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. He's given this kind of dichotomy of the situation. Who is dwelling in light and who is dwelling in dark? Nebuchadnezzar is where? In the dark, big time. Where's God? In the light, big time. So who's he going to pursue? I'm going to pursue the light. The one who can bring light into this dark situation and circumstance. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom. He said it again. And power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. I'm going to stop there in the story. It goes on, because then he goes back to the king, describes the dream. This dream is a powerful dream. It would be a mess you up dream, because we learn that there's a lot of prophecy in this dream. God was showing things of what was going to happen in the future, and our minds usually can't handle that. And it was about to make Nebuchadnezzar mad. Like, what does this mean? And so Daniel goes and he says, this is what it means. Okay. But we need to understand, when we're talking about this, the source of all wisdom is God himself. So often we look in the wrong places. So often when we're in the dark, we continue to peer through the dark to get answers about the dark. Right? Let's have a conversation. Y'all ready? Mm-hmm. All right. There's a difference between God's wisdom and the world's wisdom. All right? Ba-doom-tsh. Little Pastor Tim play on words, right? There's a difference between God's wisdom and the world's wisdom, because that's what so often it is, right? That's so often what is fed to us over and over and over again. It's not the truth. It's the repeat of the darkness to prove the darkness. It's people from the dark explaining why it's dark and then living in the dark. And we expect to get answers from that source. Even as Christians, we do that, right? And the thing is, with the world's wisdom, so often it is not based upon truth. It is based upon this word I want to define. Okay, let's define this world or this word. It's this word opinion. Okay, most of what we are dealt in culture today is opinion. The majority of what we hear, even in Christendom, even from like Christian news and Christian articles and from, especially from the world and from social media and from news outlets and from, it is so much opinion. I hate watching the news, man. I absolutely hate it. Like, I about just went off. All right, so let me push pause button on that one. Even like the news, it seems like it's good. I feel like God has given me wisdom to have ears to hear what's really being said. and to peer through, like, okay, there's the agenda there on what they just said about that news story. Oh, and there's the agenda they're trying to push on us there, and there's what they're trying to mold culture to say there. And like, it's all over the place. The only news outlet that I enjoy watching is BBC, because they just tell you what happened. That's all I need to know. What happened? I don't need your opinion. I don't even care what your opinion is, right? Just tell me what happened. And then let me go to the God who has all wisdom and ask him, what's going on, God? What's going on right now? What's going on with this or that news story, this situation? How should I respond? It's when we go to the right source. See, this is what an opinion is, okay? An opinion, and this isn't me like selling, like, so you should listen to BBC News. It's the best, like that. Don't think the pastor's giving you like what to listen to and not listen to, okay? I don't do that stuff, especially in that realm. I'm just saying that's where I found I'd rather listen. So, opinion, a view or judgment formed about something, not necessarily based on fact or knowledge. Welcome to America. Welcome to America. Right, like this is where we live right now. And it's gotten worse. It's not getting any better, y'all. It's getting worse and worse and worse, right? And then you have the news outlets that are saying, watch out for false news. And you're like, you're talking about yourself, right? Like, because they don't want you to listen to other. And there is really bad, like, fake, like, conspiracy crap out there. Lots of it that are controlling people's minds, the realities, the relationships. And it is so much conspiracy. I said it last week. If you're living in a land of conspiracy, you're living in a land of fear, of worry, of anxiety. None of those things are from God. Not a single one. And so the thing you're connecting to and you're continually allowing into your life, garbage in, do you know what's coming out? Garbage out. Like, it's going to affect every part of your relational, spiritually, and emotional life. And that's, oh, man, it drives me nuts seeing Christians go down rabbit trails of conspiracy that I'm like, you're seeing something that's not there, and you're joining in the opinion land, and you're not looking at biblical truth. And some, it goes this level, they say, but it's in the Bible, like this verse right here, and this little thing, and this little, like, meaning. I'm like, so you, like, took one thing out of context and took that verse to go deeper to then prove something else. That's bad theology. That's not the way you read the Bible. Like, if you do the whole open and point to the Bible thing, and what verse is this and what verse is that, I love the one joke as you walk through it, because it's like, you can go through and it says, you know, okay, I'm going to read this, and you pop up and it goes to Judas after he betrayed Jesus, and it says, and then he went and hung himself. Like, ooh, that's ominous. So you switch to another verse and you go to the Beatitudes, and then you get a point and you look and it says, and go and do likewise. It's in the Bible. Durr. Like, but that's what people do. That's what people do. There's no wisdom in that, right? If you're going to study God's word, you need to look at the wholeness of God's word and look for proof and proof and proof and proof in the full context of whatever passage that you're studying, okay? Opinion is killing us. Opinion. There's a big difference between two words. There's a big difference between knowledge and wisdom, okay? As we're talking about this idea of wisdom. There's a lot of people that have knowledge. Like, you can know stuff. This is what knowledge is. Knowledge is information gained through experience, reasoning, or acquaintance. You just know stuff, right? And it comes from all sorts of, you know, experience. Honestly, the majority of our life, the way we respond in relationships is usually out of the filter of experience. That's one of the big ones. That's actually the first one most of us just instinctively live our lives out of. The knowledge of my experience, so now it's going to inform my reaction now, whatever the situation is. Reasoning, so you can take what happened and now reason through that. If people are like this, then people today I'm around most likely are like that, and so I'm going to respond this way. You reason yourself into circumstances, or acquaintance, which is what you allow into your life, right? You can have knowledge and no wisdom. I've met people who know a lot who know nothing. And the thing is, with knowledge and wisdom, has nothing to do with your age, right? I've met really dumb old people. When I say dumb, I mean not wise. They're still making foolish decisions in their life, even though they've lived a long life. And I've met some very wise young people who who are making wise choices and doing very godly things. Age has nothing to do with any of this, y'all. It has to do with the source. Who's the source? The source of wisdom is God. All right, that was quiet. All right, source of wisdom is God. Amen, amen. So that's knowledge. Wisdom is something different. The ability to discern or judge what is true, right, or lasting. Wisdom is deeper, right? Wisdom is deeper. And we want to take knowledge, which is when you study God's word, you gain knowledge. You do. You gain understanding. When you're around other Christians, by experience, reason, and acquaintance, you continue to grow and learn what does it look like to be a Christian. Now you have to move it to action, okay? Knowledge can just be knowledge. Wisdom is knowledge and action. That makes a difference. Knowledge is knowing better. Wisdom is living better. Do you hear that? Knowledge is just knowing better. I know a lot of people who know better, but they don't live any better. I know I shouldn't. I know I shouldn't do that. I know it, but I keep doing that. It's like, you know better. Wisdom is now living better. It's taking what you know and actually doing something with it. It's living it out. The world's wisdom is darkness. God's wisdom brings light to your life and to those around you. We want to walk as Daniel walked and pre-decide the things to lead us into more and more wisdom, to live better with what we know about, all right? Let's go to another level. Let's keep going deeper into the book of James, okay? I know I said I'm having you guys read 1st and 2nd Peter, but James is the ultimate passage here when we're talking about humility and wisdom. Okay, so if you want to turn there with me, you can. This is a good passage to underline in your Bible or highlight in your app, okay? James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, it says this. It says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it, how? By their good life." Wisdom is lived, right? Prove it by how you live. By deeds done with humility that comes from wisdom. They're all there. Hope, wisdom, humility, right? Hope, humility, wisdom. It goes in that order. 14, but if you harbor it's hard to talk sometimes. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Whoa. He just got real serious there, didn't he? He's like, there's a difference between wisdom in the light and wisdom in the dark. And there's really only one of two sources, is what he's talking about. He said, if you feel like you're living a wise way, but you are bitter, you're selfish, and like you kind of boast about yourself and boast about things, it's like that kind of wisdom that does that, it isn't from heaven. There's no way that's in the light. It's earthly. That's this earthly wisdom, right? It's unspiritual, and then boom, even the level of demonic, meaning that is the devil's playground. That's the type of wisdom that is. That's where Satan loves to party, and he loves taking people to the party, into that darkness of wisdom. It says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." It's like it goes that deep when somebody like takes their life to that level of engagement into the darkness of the wisdom of the world. That's where you find all the evil. That's where you find brokenness. That's where you find hurt. That's where you find people attacking other people. That's where you find division. That's where you find selfish ambition. All those things are from the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of Satan himself. See, these are even Christians. The Christians that call themselves Christians, but they choose to turn and have an opinion about everybody else who isn't a Christian, point their fingers at all of them, tell them how wrong they are and how much they're going to go to hell. There's some very prideful Christians out there. I don't know if they're going to be in heaven. They wear the label. They carry the right political sign. They know their Bibles really well, but they don't live in wisdom. They live in selfish ambition, opinion, judgmentalism. I wouldn't define them as love, right? That's scary. There are people who think they're Christians, that Jesus says, when you get there, just so you know, I never knew you. You even said you did good things in my name. I don't know your name, sorry. Because they live like this, right? It doesn't matter the label. when you're walking in that type of worldly wisdom, you're walking away from God. You're walking in self-seeking, maybe revenge, just and pride is all over you if you're living that way. So what does godly wisdom look like? But the wisdom that comes from heaven, this is the light that comes into us, is first of all, say these words with me, pure, right? Pure. There's nothing wrong in it. There's no blemish. There's nothing wrong. It's like perfection. It's pure. That type of wisdom. Then, say it with me, peace-loving. This kind of wisdom is looking for unity. It's looking for, like, creating peace. There's a difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper, okay? A peacekeeper will keep the peace at all costs, which means they don't want to, like, they don't want to actually deal with the real problems. They just want to be like, oh, guys, just stop. You guys, you don't need to argue like that. Everybody's okay. That's a peacekeeper, right? But really, did you actually make any peace? No, there's been no solution to the problem. There's still things that are wrong. A peacemaker, right, is peace-loving, and they're willing to do what it takes to help two parties come in and live in peace, compromise, show love to each other, act in humility. That's peace-loving. That's the type of wisdom we're talking about. Next word, considerate. Considerate. This means not selfish. If I'm considerate, it means I'm considerate of all involved and all the relationships around me. Considerate. Submissive. This is a word we don't like. Submissive. It means it's putting itself, this wisdom that comes from heaven puts itself under the submission of heaven and the submission of God's word and the submission of his leaders in the church and even all the other authorities over your life. You live in healthy submission to those who are in authority in your life. That is godly wisdom. Can I tell you, Daniel proved this kind of submission? I don't know if any of you, if your boss is Nebuchadnezzar, and if you mess up at work, you're literally going to get murdered. That's where Daniel was. And yet, he humbled himself. He submitted to these leaders in authority who were absolutely ungodly. And he responded in wisdom. That's what it does. That's what godly wisdom does. And puts God in the right place. Full of mercy, in good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. I already explained the difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper, right? This is God's wisdom. If you're trying to figure out somebody's giving you some wisdom, look at what it's doing and what it's saying. Because the fruit of that wisdom is either dark and evil or it's godly and from heaven. And so you can filter, what does this wisdom look like? This is what I'm saying. When you watch the news, you need to watch the news with wisdom. Is this from heaven? Is this good? Is this wise? Is it considerate? Is it peace-loving? Is it impartial? No, right? Like, is this the world's wisdom? Okay, let me filter it through God's wisdom, right? I'm trying to give you a tool here. James 3 is your tool for understanding what is wise and what is unwise in the relationships of the people around you and what they're saying for you to help you. There's been all sorts of people who had good advice, but it was crap. Sounded right. Sounded like good advice. There's all sorts of good advice out there. But if it's not God's advice, it's not good advice. God's wisdom brings godliness into our life. And when you live in that kind of wisdom, just like Daniel did, do you know where Daniel ended up after this? Second in charge of the whole gosh darn kingdom. Because he used whose wisdom? Good Sunday school answer. Good job, guys. Right? God's wisdom. Worldly wisdom may change minds. That's what it does. It conforms people's way of thinking. That's what worldly wisdom does. It brings a group of people and conforms them to an ideology or an understanding of what's going around in the culture. Like, that's what worldly wisdom does. It can control and change minds. But godly wisdom that comes from heaven changes hearts. This is the whole thing with humility and pride. It's the same story. Pride will never change a heart. The worldly wisdom will never change a heart. God can change a heart. When we as Christians live with godly wisdom and humility, he can use us in somebody else's life who is broken, who's being controlled by a world that's trying to continually pull them down deeper into darkness. And you can experience with them something that changes in their hearts because you've acted with godly wisdom and humility in their life. Daniel proved it. We see it all through the story of Scripture. Those that lived like this experienced way more of God in their life. So we want you to have this kind of godly wisdom. Now let's get real practical, okay? Anybody like practical? Okay, good. Because that's what I try to do on Sundays. I'm going to tell you, this is how you gain godly wisdom. If you want it, if you're like, how do I get this thing, Tim? How do I get wisdom like Daniel? Because I don't feel like I got that. Some of you in this room have been Christians a long time. Some of you, you're brand new Christians. You're like, I'm just figuring this stuff out. Some of you are coming back to God because you're like, I've been away for a while. I'm just trying to figure this thing out. Welcome. We are glad you're on the journey with us because we're all on the journey together. To gain this kind of wisdom, first, you pray for it. You pray for it. James chapter 1, verse 5 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. You want wisdom? You do what Daniel did. Guys, let's get on our knees. We need some wisdom. Let's talk to our Heavenly Father. Because we know our Heavenly Father knows what's going on. He knows my circumstances. He knows who I am, the things I would normally do, things I shouldn't do, and the things he wants me to do. He knows all things. Let's ask him, right? That's a good person to go ask. God, I don't have wisdom on this thing. I don't know what to do here. Please give me wisdom. Now, sometimes the answer to that prayer is very difficult because he may have to take you through something so you gain wisdom. I've learned in my lifetime to selectively make that prayer. Because sometimes I prayed that. I'm like, I don't understand the circumstance. I don't understand what's going on. Give me wisdom. And he says, oh, you just don't want to know something. You want to know how to respond and how to change so that you can actually act out in the right way. And so he puts a circumstance in my life that forces me to grow in that area that I needed to grow in. And you know what? I'm glad he did. I'm way more wise because of it. Sometimes when we pray, he answers by putting us in a situation that demands us to grow in wisdom. It's like praying for patience. I dare you to pray for that one. Especially in the morning on your way to work. Pray for that one. God, give me patience. He's like, okay. Okay, I'm going to give you some patience situations so you can grow, right? All right, let's put some things in that tank. Like, and do you know what? If we then pointed him and said, why did you do that? He says, you asked for it, and I love you so much, I want you to live with more patience. I love you so much, I want you to understand with wisdom. I want you so much, I don't want you to keep tripping over that same thing. Let's get beyond that one. And so he might put some circumstances in your life that forces you to grow, and we need to, as Christians, to look at those moments and say, okay, God, I'm going to be like Daniel and trust you in it. My hope is in you. I'm in humility. And I need your wisdom. So whatever that is, pray for it. Ask him for it. Sometimes he'll just give it to you because he's just a good loving God and you just get it. You'll get a vision like Daniel did in the middle of the night. It's like, oh, now I understand. I love those moments. Those are better than the like make me do something ones. You know, those are the ones where it's like, okay, God, I really don't understand what's going on. And he gives a revelation. Or he gives somebody in your life that gives you a revelation, an understanding that you didn't have before that you needed. Okay? Pray for it. Number two, everybody say this with me. Read God's word. It's all the wisdom. He's already written us the book. He's like, I've told you what the wise thing is to do. It's in there. I've given it to you. My word is full of truth. So when you're praying, then you're getting into God's word and you say, okay, God, show me. That's why we've been trying to teach you as a church and teach us as a church. Let's be a praying church. Let's be a church that gets into God's word every day, okay, so that we can live with these things. We can understand it. That's what we're trying to teach y'all, all right? That's why we have these life journals. If you want one, buy one, $5, $10. Start journaling every day. Start doing just a small verse in the Bible. Write it down. What does it mean? What should I do about it? And then pray, right? Like, we've given you very simple tools. You have to be in God's word. If you're praying but then not reading God's word, you're still going to be not able to filter wisdom, okay? Number three, be connected to a church. And I'll say this here at New Hope. I don't care what church it is. If it's a good church, it's preaching God's word that has people who love you and are helping you grow, go there, plug in. If it's here, come here, plug in. If you're online and you haven't been here and you're all by yourself, get out of your daggum chair and be with a bunch of people. That's all I'm going to say. This isn't political. This isn't virus. This isn't blah, blah, blah. Like, there are safe people who want to help you learn and grow in wisdom, right? This is just practical. If you don't do these three and you're still saying, I don't have wisdom, I say, did you do the top three? If you haven't done the top three, don't come and talk to me. If you want me to give you wisdom, you're looking at the wrong source. If you want Pastor Jim, if you want Pastor Nikki, if you want one of our elders, if you want Tony, if you want somebody else who's more spiritual than you to give you all the wisdom, you're looking at the wrong source. We can give you advice, and then you can do whatever you want with it. That's called counseling. There's some people who go through counseling that get good advice and don't do a darn thing with it. Do the top three, and then come back and meet with me, okay? All right. Getting preachy. Feel like, come on, yeah. All right. We want to walk with godly wisdom. We want to be like Daniel. I want you to thrive. All of us are going to experience difficult situations. I know some people in this room right now, you're in horrifying situations. I mean, you're in situations that are way outside of your control. Things have happened in your life, in your family, that is heartbreaking. And I know it because I know your stories, and I see your faces in this room. And are those of you online, same story. I want you to be able to thrive in the presence of your Heavenly Father in the midst of turmoil. I want you to be able to worship your God in the middle of a storm. That is where we want to be found, Christians. In the midst of other Christians praising in the middle of a storm, saying, my hope is in you. I am humbled in your presence. I'm longing for your wisdom. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. It never returns void. It always goes out, does what it ought to do, and then we get to choose to respond to it. All of us in this room needed to hear something today. I trust, Holy Spirit, that you said what I couldn't, that my words were just, they could fall to the ground, but Holy Spirit, your words and your heart change, just penetrate us. Oh, we want to look more like you. We want to look more loving. We want to look like a church where anybody can show up because all of us are broken and we're just pursuing a loving God who loves all of us even in our brokenness. God, today, give us a hope that can only come from you. Give us peace in the middle of a storm because our hope is in you. Help us discern this week the voices that are in our life and the voices we allow into our life, whether it's media or social media or friendships or wherever it might be. Help us discern what is godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. Give us discernment this week, God. And help us as Christians in this room to pray to you every day, to read your word, your love letters to us already you've given us, and to stay connected to your body because we know that is where the fruit is found that we want in our life. We just thank you for this word, and it's in Christ's name we pray. And everybody who agreed, say amen. 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 This is good stuff.